Welcome back to our latest episode of West Coast XC, where we try to cover as much distance races as we can from the I-5 corridor from Seattle to San Diego. I'm Ken Martinez, your host. And if you could do something, it wouldn't cost you a thing, but if you're watching on YouTube, if you can click the subscription button, that'd be great. If you're listening on Apple Podcast or Spotify, if you can also click the follow button. That would be awesome. And we are going to be talking again to Keenan Gray. Keenan Gray was on, he's from Dystat. He was on last week previewing the Arcadia Invitational. And he wrote articles about the meet and also interviewed a ton of kids. So he's got some insight that that's unique to the Arcadia Invitational. So we will be talking to him. As I'm talking to you at this moment, I'm still going through so many photos. I'm trying to get them up as soon as possible. If you go to our website, www.westcoastxc.com, you'll see galleries. And if you see a picture that you like or you see yourself in the picture, please download and you can have them and post them. And please give us a follow on our Instagram account, which is West Coast XC. And on our Instagram account, you can find the bio that has a list of all the different race photo galleries too. So let's talk to Keenan about the Arcadia Invitational. We want to welcome back Keenan Gray from Dystat, who was on last week previewing the Arcadia Invitational. Now we're just going to do a quick recap of the distance events. Keenan, welcome back.
What a weekend it was. It was a great weekend. You know, a lot of things that were kind of unexpected, but at the same time, some things that, you know, didn't come as a shock, i.e. Jane Hendergren breaking that 2-mile national record, which, you know, without a doubt, was probably the best thing that happened the entire meet.
It was amazing. We'll talk about that. We'll go down the list of the distance events. We'll start with the relays, the distance relays. I think the comment I want to make is just how impressive these programs are that are so deep that they can do well in these almost every year. It's almost the same schools every year. And some of these kids are doing individual events too. And they have sometimes B and C teams running in these events. It's hard to get an Listen, I was at a low high school. It was hard to get in one of my teams on there, let alone two teams. So that's amazing.
Yeah, no, depth really showed throughout the entire meet, whether, you know, it was Jay Sarah or Jesuit or even Long Beach or heck, even Buchanan. I mean, you saw that there was multiple teams. Like they had an A squad, they had B squads. I don't know if there was any team that had a C squad in the invitational races. But again, it goes to show, you know, just how, you know, consistently year in and year out these programs are, you know, whether that's the coaches, whether that's just the kids' work ethics. I think it's a combination of both. But yeah, no, it makes it interesting to see, you know, like how can your B team stack up against other A teams that have, you know, you're racing against not only in California, but the rest of the country. So yeah, depth really played a big part in, you know, depending on who won this year's distance relays. And in the case for Jay Sarah girls and the Jesuit boys, they won the 4x8, and then the Buchanan girls in the 4x16, and then, you know, American Fork for a third consecutive year. That was the big one right there, you know, American Fork winning for a third consecutive year, especially when, you know, they graduated Daniel Simmons from last year, Nielsen as well. I believe Bradshaw is gone as well. Ben Jaster. I mean, just the list goes on of the amount of guys that there was so much talent that American Fork team had last year. And even going back to when they finished second at Nike Cross Nationals, a lot of people thought they were going to win Nike Cross Nationals. And instead it was Harriman in the end. But yeah, no, Timo does a great job of, you know, getting those guys prepared. And I ask, Caden Evans at the end of the day is like, is this something you guys talk about every single, you know, year or the week of that practice leading up to it? It's like this is something we need to win. Like everything else doesn't matter. Like this is the one we want to win. And the simple answer was, yeah, like this is the race we basically focus in on, and we want to put all of our efforts into it.
Yeah, you see Jay Sarah girls wins at 8:35. Long Beach Wilson, another strong program, 8:58. Boys Jesuit, 7:41. Again, Jay Sarah boys, 7:42. Buchanan, I heard the announcer say, was the third time in 4 years they won. And they beat Mountain View of Utah. Utah is going to come up quite a bit on this program. Then you've got, of course, American Fork 3 years in a row. And Jesuit Boys also finished second. And Jesuit Boys, I think, also take this very seriously. They're always in the top three or four, top two, you know, in this event also. So.
One team that was kind of disappointed when it was all said and done, I think it was the J. Serra boys in the 4x8, because they had finished second the year prior to, I think it was San Clemente. And of course, you know that, you know, when you finish second the year before and you bring back the majority of your team, it's like, all right, like we are destined to get the win. That being said, Jesuit had a really good day. Of course, they beat the meet record, but J. Serra is missing arguably their best guy in Alden Morales right
Right.
now. So that's a huge, you know, loss right there for them. You know, had, you know, Alden Morales been in there, and he's been dealing with some on and off stuff the last, you know, couple months or so. Even if he ran like a 153, would that be enough to beat Jesuit?
Right.
Perhaps. But at the end of the day, it's what you do that day on the track rather than what you've done in the past. So again, not saying Jesuit did not deserve to win that race, but it would have been interesting if, you know, Alden was in that race for J. Serra.
Right. And then on Saturday, Palo Alto, Kinga Zakowska is having a really nice season. She anchored her team to victory. And again, here's another familiar name. Buchanan finished second at 11:54, Palo Alto 11:48. Then the boys race, it was like, you know, with the lap to go, you got Chabuco Hills, MiraCosta, and Bellamont, and Clovis East. And Clovis East, maybe not as well known as the other programs, comes out the winner, which is fun to watch.
I'm glad, you know, I mean, a lot of people, of course, they kind of, I don't know if they tune out the rest of the meet just after the 3200 for the 2 miles are done, but I'm glad there were two races that towards the end that, you know, left people leaving. It's like, wow, yeah, those were fun to watch. And especially, you know, that boys race when you have a little over a second differential between, you know, as you said, a school maybe not necessarily, you know, known for its distance paralysis or whatever that word may be. And then you got Trabuco Hills. You know, both really good teams that performed on the day that night. And then of course Palo Alto, as you said, you know, this young lady coming off a win, you know, in her backyard, essentially. I know Stanford University is not where they necessarily race all their home meets, but it is in Palo Alto. So and again, beating a Buchanan team that again won the 4x6 team the night before. I'm not entirely sure if it was the same exact team that was on the 4x6 team, but I gotta venture that, you know, at least three of them were part of that 4x16 team.
And they won the DMR last year too, Buchanan. So they were hoping to defend their title. So it was pretty exciting. So now we're going to go to our individual events where things really heat up on Saturday evening. And in the girls 800, McKenna Herbst of Carlsbad runs 205.08. And then is it Bo Ritchie of New Zealand? 206.32 is one of our New Zealand athletes that came and competed. And yeah, California girl wins the 800.
Yeah, that was a fun one, you know, especially for McKenna to bounce back from what was it, sixth place the year before, and she knew that she did not run well at all last year. Like she said that going into that race, she's like, yeah, I just strategically did not run that race well, was not in it from the start, and this year was totally different. You know, she let Bo Ritchie kind of do the work for the first, I don't know, lap or so, and then when it was. When it came down to the very end, you see the American beat the New Zealand. So yay, America getting the win. And it was a great race. And you know, Bo Ritchie is a very, very good competitor too. This is someone that's won a national title in New Zealand. And I'm not referring to, you know, like the U18 or U20. I mean, she's won a senior national title
She's been
in the
203, I
800. She,
understand.
yeah. And she's ran 203. So she's a very, very good
Right.
competitor. Actually, Bo Ritchie has stuck around this week. She will be at Mount SAC this week,
Wow.
and McKenna and her will be going at it again in the 800. So I'm really
Wow.
looking forward to see what those two do in part two.
Well, I'm going to tell you, maybe because I'm older, but I've traveled to Europe and that just wipes me out. They're younger and they can bounce back. I think it'll be interesting. She has another week where she's acclimated to the Pacific time zone. It'll be interesting to see what, if that helps at all. And then the kind of a crazy experience, Joseph Socrates of Belen Jesuit waves to the crowd and asks them to cheer for him. And then he kind of like takes a couple steps and just kind of eases into the finish and runs 147.66. And so the photographers around me are like, what if he hadn't waved to the crowd? But even at the end, he kind of just kind of relaxed and took a couple easy steps to the finish. That's the meet record.
Listen, Coach Ruiz does a great job at Belen Jesuit. If he did not rip that kid a new one at the finish line after that race, I would have done it because I wanted that kid. He could have easily ran 146. I mean,
Yeah.
it's great that he had that much energy and he was able to celebrate both up, but could you imagine, could he have, I don't know if he would have, gotten the national record in the 800, but could he have come pretty close? Yeah, I think he would have gotten way close to it. And then, the conversation starts. It's like, all right, now we got Cooper Luchtenhaus. Now we got Sakaris. Who's the best
Oh, yeah.
guy in the country
Boy.
when it comes to the 800? So I think for him, that was an emotional moment at the time. And he kind of just realized that, oh my gosh, I'm going to win this race. Like I got this in the bag. And he did. I mean, he dominated that race. I mean, he goes out, I want to say he went out like 55 for the first lap and then negative splits. And runs 52. So again, how much energy, could you have exerted that first 300 meters? Could you have done a 53, 54 on that first lap and then, I don't know, closing 54? Then of course that would have led you to run another 147. But again, like I don't even know if we haven't seen the potential of this kid yet. I don't even think that after what I saw, especially when he was 100 meters into the straight or the final home stretch. He had so much energy. So
He
I think that,
did.
we could see him running in the mid 146s by the end of the season. And
Yeah.
if an opportunity presents itself where we see both him and Luchtenhaus in an 800, get your popcorn ready because it's going to be a movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I hope that happens. Waylon Obando of Long Beach Wilson's having a nice season. He ran well at the Nike Indoor Nationals, and then he won the Oregon Relays the week before, and then finished second at 150.45, local kiddo. And then we go, lights turn on. Olivia Sislek of Haverford Township wins a close one at 441.46 over Kiara Daly of La Jolla, 441.92. I mentioned in the last podcast or episode that this was won by Sadie Englehart 3 times in a row. And now we have a new champion in Olivia.
Yeah, no, that was a fun race to watch. And actually, the one that you haven't mentioned was the gal from O'Gorman in South Dakota in Libby Castelli. The guts that she took, to take the lead with about 500 meters to go. And eventually she lost that lead in the last 100 meters to both Cieslak and to Daly, but that got her a South Dakota state record by a
Nice.
second and lowered her PR by 5 seconds. So, in circumstances, yes, people want to get the win, but from a personal standpoint, moves like that get you results that you never thought you could touch. And so I was really impressed with her to be able to, drop 5 seconds off that. But yeah, Olivia Cieslak kind of, I'm not saying she's stepping out of her realm, but as an 800 runner, like 441, that's a very good time. And Kiara Daly, I told her this on Saturday night. That was one of the best kicks I've seen from her in a long time. And you could tell that she was strong. Like there was some sort of confidence that kind of just took over. Even though she got second, there was some sort of confidence and belief that if I could do this right now, why can't I do this, in the California State Championships and try to win myself a state title? Why can't I do this at the Brooks PR Invitational or Nike Outdoor National, some sort of national stage? Because she's proven to be a threat in the middle distance. It just, things haven't quite come together during the, those championship races. So I was pleased to see what that result from her. And I again, just she's very hard on herself and she wants to win all the time. And I asked her, I was like, are you happy for finishing second just like despite the result and how, but like how you finish? She's like, yeah, I'm happy with how I finished that. Now I just have to change that into a winning effort and make that kind of just how I want to go about it.
Yeah, I mentioned that Sadie Englehart won the Arcadia mile 3 years in a row, but she's also won the California state meet in the 1600 for 3 years in a row. So we're going to have a new California champion, and Kiara, it looks like she has the inside track for that. And then in the boys' mile, Aiden Neal, a junior from Utah, Alta High School in Utah, runs 408.73, close race with Brady Keller from Lacombe Composite, which is in Canada. He ran 408.93, super close race. New star,
Another
Aiden
win.
Neal.
Another win for America. That's how I see
Yeah, we defended our
it.
territory.
Yes, we got it. No, good for him. As Utah's prominence kind of continues to rise within the last couple of years, thanks to Harriman, thanks to American Fork, it's motivated guys like an Aiden Neal to, kind of step up their game. And you don't have to necessarily go to American Fork or Harriman to be a good guy. You can go to any school. I mean, if you're in Utah, I would hope you would have the resources to be able to run fast. Well, one of them is being at elevation. That's the huge resource. And then when you go to sea level, it's like, all right, this is a walk in the park. No, it's cool to see different names from that state get recognition outside of, like I said, American Fork and Harriman. And yeah, this is just a start for this guy.
Yeah. Then we get to the part of the meet where everybody's waiting for. It's the 2 mile for the girls, followed by the 3200 for the boys. It's kind of like the moment. The race, the 3200 girls race was converted to 2 miles so Jane Hendigren could of Timfew could break the high school national record. And they were telling her splits and how she was ahead of her splits by quite a bit. And you're like, oh, you might be going out too fast. And she is not your typical high school athlete, is she?
No, I don't doubt. I mean, those that if that was the first time you ever watched Jane Hendrickson run in a race and you doubted her from the start, you are sorely mistaken. Like, you need to watch her other races, whether it's NXR Southwest, Nike Cross Nationals, Nike Indoor Nationals. She is a generational talent, and people say that, when they see these really good, really fast kids come through high school, but she is a generational talent, without a doubt. By far is the best high school distance runner of all time. I mean, it's plain and simple. I mean, I whether you guys agree with that or not, what she's been able to do is unprecedented. And she's broken four national records this year. Actually, five if you count her in route time in the 3200, because
Right.
she shattered Leachman's time by 13 seconds from last year. Again, she has an opportunity to go after the outdoor mile. Okay, Sadie's got that. She ran 420, I think it was like 428 at Hoka Festival Miles. She has an opportunity to go for the 5000 record, which she could do this weekend at Brian Clay Invitational. So there's an
Right, Brian
opportunity.
Clay.
Yeah, there's an opportunity to see her race the 5000 at Brian Clay. And question begs, since she ran 15:13 in indoor, how close can she get to running sub 15? I don't know if she'll get right under 15 minutes, but I could see her getting 15:04, 15:05. But I've said, I've doubted her before in certain things, and she's gone on to, go over expectations. So who knows if she can break 15, but without a doubt, the best race of the entire meet, maybe one of the best races of the entire year so far, going 4:46 that first mile. And then basically, not even, I mean, she ran basically the same exact thing. She went 4:47 for the second mile. That was more impressive than, the fact that she opened up and that she kept it consistent. What I heard going into that race is she was trying to shoot for 70 seconds per lap. And she did that for the first couple laps and kind of fell off pace. But I mean, you're up by 27 seconds against the rest of the field. And at that point, you're just trying to feed off the crowd's, encouragement. Throw her into a race with collegiate and pros, she's in the 920s easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. And then there's a second race going on that was very exciting. It was could girls break 10 minutes? And it looked like there was several girls that had the chance of doing that. It didn't happen, but it was pretty close. Hannah Thompson of Montgomery, Santa Rosa ran 10:01.72. And she and who was the person that she kind of tied with? Do you remember?
If I'm mistaken, I want to say, I think I want to say it was Claire Stegall
Yeah, that
from
was. You're right. It was Claire Stegall.
Nolensville,
Yep.
Tennessee. Again, a race within Jane's race.
Right.
Again, Jane's kind of doing her own thing out front, and I'm sure coaches, told their athletes, as we talked about last time, run your race. Do not do what Jane does, because if you do, you will pay the consequences. And yeah, no, like I said, the race within a race was fun to watch, just because you have this giant pack of girls right there in the mix with each other, and then they're all battling towards the end. Like none of them spread apart or whatsoever. Like, they were all with each other towards the very end, and that's what made it very exciting. And of course, you know, a couple of them really close to breaking 10 minutes. But if you do the 32 meter in route
That's
time,
true. They
which
would have done
yeah,
it.
some people, yeah, they would have done it. And I think it was Hannah Thompson and I think it was Claire Stegall. So
Right.
they broke 10 minutes for the 3200. So
That's true.
hypothetically, three girls broke 10 minutes in the 32.
That's right. And then, you did the great post of 69 runners breaking 9 minutes, and that didn't happen this year. It was under. I was thinking, there was one athlete making it Friday. I thought, gosh, if three to four got it, that would probably help. And then the first fast race, I think maybe five or six got it, probably needed maybe eight to do it. But the
Yeah.
race before, the seeded race, had 21 boys make it. That's pretty good. That was pretty good. And I think on the other than the in the Invitational boys race, it was more clumped together, maybe went out as fast as they normally do, maybe just by eyeballing. I wasn't looking at splits, but still. And I don't know, my wife texted me after the race was over, and maybe she heard this on the runner, she had to have heard this on the runner space feed, that Owen Powell of Mercer Island, who wins in 8:39.86, ran a 54.400 in his last lap. It's incredible. Josiah Tostenson of Craters right there at 8:40.95. I was at Woodbridge. I saw those two guys come to the finish. You only see them at this, when they make their turn. So there's a whole bunch of guys. And then at the finish, looking through my lens, and there they are again from Woodbridge. It was incredible.
You go out 4:30 and you kind of let the sub four guys kind of dictate the pace. You might as well just step off the track then because you're not going to win that race in the latter half. Like, I'm sorry, nobody's going to outkick those five that finished top five because they've all gone under sub four. Like, there's no way that there's anybody else in that field that if you haven't even come close to running for under 4 minutes for the mile, you are not going to beat those guys. And so I don't know who took it out. I don't know what exactly transpired that led them to go, 4:30 for that first mile. But that just set up Owen Powell for one of the best finishes of the entire meet, one of the best finishes of the entire year. Split, not only 54 seconds on your last lap, but 4:10 for the last mile after, opening up in about 4:29, 4:30 or so was really, really impressive. And that was my question at the beginning of the year for Owen Powell is can he step up in range when it comes to, racing the 2 mile and then across? Can he translate that in the 5K? Yeah, he can. He's not just an 800 mile guy. He can do it all. Now, granted, I have no idea if he can do a 10,000, but he can do it all, and he's really good at it too. So at this point for me, my distance runners of the year are Owen Powell and Jane Hindgren, and who knows, maybe they might be my athletes of the year just based on what they've been able to accomplish. I mean, 356 for Owen Powell, four national records for Jane Hindgren. Well, Jane's going to be the undisputed girls athlete of the year without a doubt. Owen's going to be in the mix, but yeah, I'd be curious, what that conversation is like, when you're debating about who's the athlete of the year, especially on the boys' side, because there's all this talent across the board. The other funny thing I saw was is, so we went Owen Powell, Josiah Tostenson, Sam Ruth, Tavon Kitchen, and Tommy Latham, one through five.
Which are
They finished in
four,
the same.
well, those are the 4 minute milers, right?
Yes, they finished in the same order that their PRs are.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and that was something I looked at it. I had to look at it again. I'm like, because I had to look at the decimal because I know both Kitchen and Tommy have ran in the 359s, but I didn't know what the decimals were.
Wow.
And I think Tommy's or Kitchen's was 61, and I think Tommy's was like 77. So right there with each other because I had already known that, Owen 356, Josiah 357. Ruth 358. Then it was kind of a toss up between Tavon and Tommy, and lo and behold, it came down to the decimals. But yeah, it was a really cool statistic or fact to find that, one through five, the same order of their PRs as well.
That's so amazing. In fact, I would encourage our viewers and listeners to go to dicestat.com and look at your interview, watch your interview with Sam Ruth. It's really great. You get a perspective of like what he's doing in New Zealand and how he's racing adults and how he came to the United States and raced high school kids, which is new. When he was at the finish, and all the kids, it was so nice, were like wishing him a happy birthday. All the boys that ran the 3200 were like totally into him and wishing him a happy birthday. And, you know, you kind of remember, I don't know what the grade is over in New Zealand, but in our it'd be a sophomore in our grade. And he's, you know,
I think that's what he is. Yeah, I think he is a sophomore. I mean, he's 16 years old, or whether or not he's maybe a young junior or an old sophomore. So, yeah, no, he was fun to watch. I got to talk with his dad afterwards. Super, super nice guy. Super, super nice kid. I'm just excited, you know, just to see how he continues to progress. And there's a rumor that he's going to be coming back to the United States here in July to race at a particular meet at Hayward Field. I'm not entirely sure whether that's going to happen or not, but you could potentially see Sam Ruth racing in one of the B sections of the 1500 a mile at the Prefontaine Classic.
That'd be wonderful. I heard that too. So that'd be great. Well, I really appreciate you, Keenan, coming on here and giving us the rundown. And you're off to Southern California again to check out the big races there at the Brian Clay and also at Mount SAC. That's a great, great weekend in Los Angeles. I wish I could go. I wish you the best. Good luck.
Great. Craziest thing I've seen so far in the entry list, a thing Mo in the 5,000. So, we'll see if that's true or not.
You know, they were advertising all the different professional athletes and her name was on there. I didn't know what she was doing. That would be crazy. Well, we'll see. You know, they do kind of funny things. They have Sydney McLaughlin run like a 100 hurdles in like training flats, like running shoes, you know, just to mix things up for them.
But she's at least done that in high school at one point in her career. I have no idea if a thing Mo has even ran further than a mile before.
Yeah. We'll see.
No, she has ran a 15. I take that back. Right. So I guess she has
qualified.
Ran.
She qualified in the 15 for the US
team. She did.
Team.
And she does. Yeah. She opted out of it for the world championship. So yes, I take that back. She has ran in the mile distance. Nothing past that though, at least that I'm aware of.
Well, it's good to see her racing again. I'm glad to see she's listed this weekend. And that was kind of, I was there when she didn't make it the 800 and fell. It was right in front of me. It was so heartbreaking. So I'm glad to see that she's listed this weekend, and it'll be great to see whatever she decides to do. And good luck this weekend covering your events. And we'll look forward to more of your interviews and your articles. And thanks a lot, Keenan, for coming on.
Appreciate your time, Ken.
We want to thank Keenan Gray of Distat for coming on and talking to us about the highlights of the distance events and the Arcadia Invitational. We also want to make sure that you take the time to subscribe on YouTube and also follow us on the Apple Podcast and also on Spotify. That would be wonderful. And I'm doing my best. I'm working as hard as I can to get pictures up from the Arcadia Invitational. My family, my wife and my daughter also went to Sherwood High School and took some pictures of Need for Speed, which I have to work on those and get those up. I promise I'll do that. And, you know, the last 5 weekends I have flown or driven to out of state, 4 times to California and once to New York. And I'll be staying in the Pacific Northwest for a few more weeks. So I wish I could go to the Brian Clay and Mount SAC. That'd be so amazing. But got to stay home for a little bit and also check out our athletes from the Pacific Northwest. So I'll be here for a few weeks taking photos. I hope to see you somewhere in Washington and Oregon soon. And I have stickers and I hope to get some pictures of you and put them up on our website. Until next time, West Coast is the best coast.